Alma chapter 17. In the first verse, Alma meets the sons of Mosiah returning from their mission to the Lamanites, and we notice that that mission lasted for 14 years. Again, when the Lord sends someone out to do his work, he's interested in accomplishing the work. He's not interested in setting a time as we do today. Man's the one that likes to set times and put all sorts of organization around things and set limits on it all. The Lord just desires, when he calls someone to a mission, he just has them go out and do his work. And when his work's done, plus the person doing the work has received all the knowledge and training that they can from that experience, then it's a time for it to be over, and that can last any amount of time the Lord wants it to. Well, that's a great joy comes to Alma, and he sees the faithfulness of his of the sons of Mosiah, and it gives him great cheer to see this, and it explains why they've been so faithful, and it says because they searched the Scriptures. Now, again, the word is search. They didn't just read them. They searched them, and they searched them for what? They were searching them for the Word of God. I mean, they just didn't look through them superficially and read them. They searched through them to determine what the Scripture was trying to tell them, that God was trying to tell them through the Scriptures. And so as they continue to search and study the Scriptures, they receive more and more understanding and more of the Word of God. Again, we can also say that this is how the Scriptures is how the Lord increases our spirit to receive His Word. And so this is one of the primary methods for receiving the Spirit. It also said that they had had much prayer and fasting. And through prayer and fasting, what did they obtain? We learn what we should be receiving from prayer and fasting, and that is they obtained the spirit of prophecy. They could see where the world was going, what was happening, what to expect, and revelation. Again, they could reveal the Word of God. They could understand it, and so that is really saying that as they searched the Scriptures and as they studied the things of God around them, they were able to reveal God's will and reveal the mysteries of God and the understanding of what God was doing. Well, it then says, therefore, having done all this, they taught with the power and authority of God. Again, how do we teach today? We teach that a man is ordained, and this is passed on by another man, and by this being, because we can show some line of progression back to God, then that means that this guy has power and authority. Yeah, when he goes out and preaches, when we hear him in church or anywhere else, he doesn't have any power. He doesn't speak with power and authority. This one shows that power and authority comes by getting ourselves in tune with the Spirit so that we are just acting as a conduit for the Spirit and reflecting that Spirit out as we therefore reveal the Word of God. Meaning when we speak, we reveal the Word of God, and by doing that, we are coming with the full power and authority of God coming through us. And that's how we have those things, not because someone had just passed it on according to man. Well, in verses 4 and 5, we then learn that they had a lot of afflictions, but a lot of success also amongst the Lamanites. So they begin to tell their story. To begin their story, they say, remember when they left, they had their choice between going out and serving Christ and doing what Christ wanted them to do to perfect themselves and to help others, or to have the glory of man and be given the kingdom of kingdom of the Nephites. And they chose to serve the Lord and do what the Lord wanted them to do the most. Even when they went to the Lamanites, they had great love for the Lamanites. But their greater love was to do what the Lord wanted. And so they went off to do that. As they travel to go to the Lamanites, they fast and pray all along as they travel, because they want to get in tune with the Spirit. They want to know what the Spirit wants them to do so that they are in line with the Lord. This is their reason for the fasting and praying, is they're not going out to see the Lamanites to do their work. They're going to do the work of the Lord. And so they've got to get themselves in tune with the Lord so that they are, as they say, instruments for the Lord. So they're really doing what the Lord wants, not what they want. And the most important part about doing a mission or doing the work of the Lord is getting us to doing whatever we need to do to get ourselves in tune with what the Lord wants. Again, not what we want. And, and they did it through fast and prayer. And the Lord then comes to him and comforts him and says, okay, I'm accepting thee. You are going to do my work. And he says, in order to do my work, though, you must be a patient in affliction as an example to the Lamanites. And this tells us a lot. First of all, the work is not just for the Lamanites. The work is for them. It's to help them to grow and strengthen their patience and their resolve to do the work of the Lord. And then second, it says that anyone who does the work of the Lord or is a true follower of Christ, they can expect, again, to have a lot of affliction, and that they have to, and that they one of the great character traits that the Lord wants to build is patience. And so you can expect that, and it'll be repeated over and over and over again, that this is what is expected of the true followers of Christ. If you are not receiving that, if that is not part of your life, then you are not following the, then you're not truly seeking and following the Lord. Well, they then decide to all separate, and they all go their different ways out amongst the Lamanites, each trusting in the Lord. I mean, they're trusting in the Lord to take care of them, watch over them, tell them what to do. They're not trusting in asking Ammon, who was their, as they said, their leader, or the one telling them all what to do. They weren't trusting in the group of them, having a group together to protect themselves. They were trusting in the Lord. And that, again, is an important thing. When we go out on a mission, we're not to trust in having all the other missionaries with us, or trust that the mission president will tell us what to do, and so on and so forth. We should trust in the Lord. And fortunately, we're not taught to trust in the Lord on our missions today. Well, it said that this is going to be a tough mission, because these people were hard. I mean, they were hard-hearted, and it said why. And it said because they desired riches, but did not want to labor with their hands for those riches. They wanted to figure out some way to plunder, some way to trick the other people. Even as today, those who are the rich in our society, and this is well amongst the church, meaning the leaders of the church have all become rich in this way. It's done not by a man laboring and working with his hands, but by figuring out the designs of Babylon, or how the economy works, or how business works, or how anything else works, so that you, so that they could get the riches through it, which is called their management, their own device, their own cunning of the world, their own salesmanship traits, whatever it was. But it was not by laboring with their own hands, and that certainly is the sign of today. Well, then it also says in verse 16, it tells us what the purpose of their work was, or the missionary work. The purpose is to bring people to repentance and to an understanding of the plan of redemption, which means to understand Christ and how Christ can redeem them of their sins if they will repent. This is what they were doing. They weren't trying to convert them to any church or anything. They weren't even interested in establishing a church directly. What they wanted to do was preach repentance and bring some unto Christ. And any establishment of the church is just something that would occur after to aid them. But it was not the purpose of their mission. We learn in verse 18 that Ammon is the chief. But it clarifies really clearly here that he only administers to them. He does not dominate. And any time we hear anything about man having power, or being a leader, or being in charge, notice that the Book of Mormon always puts in a little bit of clarification, because it's one thing that they do not want any misunderstanding at all in the Book of Mormon about is the idea that man should be in charge. This was the problem with the teachings of Nehor. It's the problem today of man always wanting to act like they're in charge, and the Lord has to continue to impress that he is not in charge. Well, all Ammon did in this case was he administered to the other ones through the Spirit, and his administering helped them to get greater, get in touch with the Spirit themselves. Well, then as they break off, we first learn about Ammon's adventures, and Ammon goes by himself to the land of Ishmael, and he is immediately taken and bound by the Lamanites. Now, remember that the Lord prepared him for this, so this wasn't real difficult, and it wasn't a big shock for Ammon, as long as he was trusting in the Lord. And when we look at Ammon's story, his afflictions weren't very bad. He didn't, because why? Because he was prepared for it. He was prepared in the Lord, and his trust was in the Lord. And so if someone wanted to bind him and take him off, well, that's what the Lord wanted. That's what the Lord said he was going to do. So that's all right with him. And it was just something going on. So remember, most afflictions as persecution is mostly mental. If we can just keep ourselves single to the Lord. Well, so he had his trust in the Lord. He was expecting this. It happened to him, and he was just taken off. Well, immediately then soon after that, they take him unto King Lamoni. And King Lamoni talks with him, immediately likes Ammon. Well, this is really a good sign. A good sign for King Lamoni, because we see that we do believe that we all have spirits. And we do feel that we can still each other's spirit. And Ammon had a tremendous spirit his spirit was very akin with the Lord's. And notice that right off, King Lamoni likes Ammon's spirit. So we know that King Lamoni was not an evil man. He was doing things that he later finds out are evil, but he would have been taught them by his fathers. He thought this was what was right. And that this was okay. But in his heart, he had a desire to do what was right, and we can feel that the Lord had prepared him, and he did have a good spirit, and so we immediately write off know this, and he wasn't an evil man that all of a sudden had this conversion, as we keep wanting to think, and that we think that that's how conversions take place, is they can take place overnight, and that is a foolish idea. Well, Alma says that he doesn't want to marry King Lamoni's daughter and become a prince and have power. That doesn't have any meaning to him. He says it's just as fine, just as he feels that the Spirit tells him it's better for him to serve. Again, having a power in that kingdom or just being a servant makes no difference to Ammon. All he desires to do is serve the Lord. And see, that's where his focus is at. And he honestly feels in his mind and in his soul there is absolutely no difference between those two. And we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe there is no difference? A service to the Lord is service to the Lord, and it doesn't matter what it is that he is telling us to do. Well, then in verses 26 to 39, we learn of the story of Ammon defending the flocks and the servants of the Lord against the many Lamanites who come out and scatter the flocks. And then when they scatter the flocks, if they kind of scatter them in a way that the flocks run off into their own land, and actually that would have been the law of those days, that if any animal wanders onto your land, then you can keep it. And so this was kind of a trick of plunder. Well, the important thing here is today, because we can trick people, and we're salesmen, and we're really sharp on figuring out how to get control of their money or to do something. Once we get control of their money as an insurance man and it's ours, then we can make all sorts of money off of that, and that's okay. But we've really did whatever, it's through our smooth talking and so forth, that we've really tricked the man into getting that money, because insurance men and so forth really aren't concerned with the welfare of our society, the welfare of you, and taking care of you. They're interested in how many dollars they can make off of it. So their whole desire is to get that money. And I only use an insurance man. The entire concept of our society is through trickery and through some form of trickery to get control of your money and so that they can receive a large portion of it. See, these guys weren't trying to receive the whole flock, still the whole thing. They were trying to take some of them off to receive it. Well, in this story also, we learn that the servants then get, if they lose any of those flocks, you know, then the king kills them for having not protected the flocks. Well, Ammon, you know, he's now happy. He says, well, hey, this is how the Lord wanted me to show forth power. And then he says, and show forth my power, he says. Then he has to do a disclaimer again, because again, someone might think that he's talking about his own power. And he says, no, the power that's in him. Whose power? Christ's power that is in him, not his own power. And in fact, again, we learn Christ does not turn his power over to man. He allows man to use his power. So that's what Ammon then uses that, and he He kills seven of these men, and he cuts a bunch of other of them's arms off. I mean, it's a tremendous thing, especially when it shows here that they looked at Ammon, and they didn't really think that he was a man of much consequence when it came to battle or to fighting. And so therefore, that's really the whole story. But the point of the final thing is here is that Ammon has then shown forth the power of God, and why? He's shown for the power of God to motivate people to listen to him. Now notice again, if King Lamoni had repented just because of some, could repent of just to some experience, then well, this would have been the experience. He went, wow, I see that there's a God, now I repent. See, it's not that way, and we have to go through a lot more of it. Plus, as I said already, we can see that King Lamoni had been prepared. Well, the same with the servants. The servants didn't all of a sudden go, okay, we repent, we're ready to do it, to listen to you. They were more interested in this tremendous thing that had happened. So the thing is that all this experience did was motivate the people to listen. That's all, was to listen now to Ammon, so that Ammon can now preach to him. And so it hasn't even motivated them to repentance. All it has is motivated them to listen, and then through hearing, then they repent, and then their repentance actually requires some effort on their part. So that's so therefore, the Lord has just prepared the way. And again, man would have immediately said, oh, it's more obvious that Ammon should be if Ammon was the prince and that he was in charge of the kingdom and he was a man of power in the kingdom, obviously this would be the best way. See, man would go for that, and obviously to some degree his own selfish desire that they don't want to be in charge. But they would make all these excuses that why it would be best for him to be in charge, and that's not. Ammon just goes along and says, I'll trust the Lord and do it the Lord's way, and the Lord prepares a way that's far more we call it spectacular or attention-getting of the people so that he can preach to them than he would have been if he would have been the prince. And so so the Lord has now clearly prepared his way for Ammon to preach to these people.